You've crushed it. You've made millions. But let us ask you something. If you stop working today, how long would it all last? For most people, that answer, it's not great.
Right now, everything you have built, your house, your car, the vacations you love, relies on you. If you stop, the money stops.
That's exactly why we created a community for people just like you. No fluff, no hustle or energy, just real self-made millionaires helping each other create wealth that actually lasts.
Ready to build a legacy? Join us now at join.builtbeyondme.com and take the first step towards lasting wealth.
Imagine this, no more grinding for another 10, 15, or 20 years just to keep everything afloat. What if your wealth could start working harder than you do?
In our community, we'll show you how to invest in income-producing assets like multifamily properties and build-to-rent developments. No messy tenant management, no complicated learning curve, just real scalable wealth.
It's not about making millions anymore. It's about keeping it, growing it, and passing wealth beyond you.
Don't just make millions, make them last. Build a future, build freedom. Join our community now at join.wealthbeyondme.com. And that is join.wealthbeyondme.com.
We've been in the multifamily business for the past 6 years. We sold 3 properties for a total of $45.2 million and are currently pulling anywhere between $1.5 to $2 million a month in revenue. So this is the no BS advice for you guys to crush it in 2025. These are the 4 quadrants of the ultimate revenue blueprint, and it does require you to raise rent by even a penny. So let's begin.
Hello, I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together, we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
So with Quadrant 1, this is where we focus on inexpensive but high returns. So these write-off bats are things that will make you money without re-raising a dollar in rent. So let's say an idea of this would be like, these are the things that are low-hanging fruits that are instantly boosting your revenue without any upfront costs. So here are some fascinating things. So smart apartment investors and syndicators are really unlocking these massive values using strategies most people just simply are overlooking. The first one that comes to mind is bulk internet programs. Obviously, raise your hand if you guys use the internet in some way, shape, or form at home, right? So while there are services like T-Mobile's 5G home devices and stuff like that, those still aren't very reliable. And so bulk internet packages are something that most people actually rely on. And in a lot of, or not bulk packages, but basically internet through like Spectrum or AT&T or any of these other providers. For the apartment owner, what we can do is actually use this thing that's called a bulk internet program, where we're buying the same internet from the same providers, Spectrum, Comcast, etc. However, because we're buying it in such volume, we're able to get a substantial discount. And there's some financial thing that the Spectrum and all these people want in order to boost their financials, because they're publicly traded companies. And so therefore, there's some also incentive for them to have a larger pool of people that are using their service. And so therefore, it incentivizes them to actually seek out people like us to put their bulk packages in the entire community. The good thing about having these bulk packages in terms of the usability, it actually has a broader range than a lot of the internet. So if you had your own internet in your own apartment building, for instance, if you were to move to like the pool area or the tennis courts or the pickleball courts, your internet connectivity may not be as strong. But when you do bulk packages, it encompasses the entire community. So it makes that actually really, really probably a better internet connection than you can have for the price. So some of the reasons why people are not implementing this strategy is either one, they didn't realize that the value that it can bring to their properties, or they thought that it was too complicated to implement, or they're just thinking all focusing on like, hey, I'm just going to keep raising rents without actually thinking of more creative ways to add value to the property. But guess what? Offering these bulk internet programs with these providers as an amenities is something that not only just increases your income streams tremendously without squeezing the tenants, but it also actually adds a lot of value to the property as well. This is also just one piece of the puzzle that we're going to be going over today. It's one of the ways that you'll increase the value of the property. Now, to give you some context, in today's market, with the cap rate being around 5 to 6%, depending on the asset class. So to give you like a simple way to understand the math, the multiple behind this is for every $1 in income that your property produces, it increases the value of the property by anywhere between $16 and $20. So for every dollar that you generate in income, it increased the value of the property by $16 to $20. So we'll give you some more context of what that looks like when you're talking about large-scale multifamily in a minute. And I think that'll really get you guys really excited about this. And this is why right now there's a lot of emphasis on these type of amenities add-ons. But like I said before, there's different type of add-ons and some makes a lot of sense while others may not be. And so we'll go over that today. So here's what happens when you actually increase your property's value. Obviously, when it comes time to sell, you're going to be able to generate more profit because the value increased substantially. As you know, multifamily properties, the value is calculated differently than single family homes. Single family homes, traditionally, they're used what they call comparable analysis. So basically, if you're in the same neighborhood, you have the same vintage unit mix, for instance, three bedroom, two bathroom, two story house with a pool and an attached garage, and was built in 1985. You're going to be compared to a different home in that same market with that similar profile, what that last home sold for. So in a case where the homeowner was distressed and needed to move out of town, or there was a divorce or any other reasons why they'll sell their home below market value, it really impacts your property's value, because now instead of being compared to what your property is worth and the quality it is being taken care of at, you're actually being compared to a property that's more depressed when they sold the price. And so therefore, your home price will be depressed. Well, multifamily apartments, the value derives from the income it produces because it's an income-producing asset. Therefore, it allows you to really grow your value by small tweaks to the property. As I just told you, the multiple is 16 to 20 in today's market. It would be even higher when the market starts improving as well. So keep in mind, 16 to 20 is the range for today's value, but it can increase as well. So imagine having this like scenario where, okay, so number one scenario is that you can sell for more when time comes. The second option, which is fascinating and really one of the few options available, is basically real estate, and multifamily is a perfect fit for this, is cash out refinancing. That's like being able to pull out tax-free money while you're keeping the property. Imagine having a tree, a money tree in the backyard where you can shake the tree and pull out dollars whenever you need it without cutting down the tree. If you guys love the concept of the money tree, say yay in the chat, let me know, because I think that it's a phenomenal tool that it's like the magic money that multifamily apartments can generate when you have the ability to do cash out refinance. And that all has to do with the value of the property compared to the existing loan, obviously. So, and this is just one of the tactics that I just went over, which is the bulk internet. So let's break down the math behind that. So the goal here isn't just to have one of these amenity streams. The goal here is to stack income producing assets and turn them into a cash flow machine. We're going to stick around and you want to see exactly how this works together. Okay. So let's break down just the bulk internet strategy, which is straight from our portfolio. We're actually implementing this across different properties in three different states. So we have 300 million, as I said, in properties, and they're spread out in three states. And this is something that works across the board. So the first thing is, what you guys need to know is that for bulk internet, typically for our cost, our cost to have this on site is around $55. So let me share with you guys a screen so that you guys can see the numbers a little bit clearer. So right here, you can see that the cost per unit is $55 per month. Now, you guys know your internet at home does not cost $55. If you let me know in the chat, what is it costing you right now to pay your internet bill? Like, how much are you paying? For us, we're paying over $120-something per month. That's from my home alone. So I know in some cities, it's a little bit more, it's a little less. And depending on the speed, it also impacts the price. But the beautiful thing about paying just $55, which is below what retail people would be paying for internet, right? We can charge the residents anywhere between $85 to $115 per month. So that's $85 to $115. The profit per unit is anywhere between $30 to $60. And you may be saying, wow, that's not that much money, $30, $60. But that's not all that we actually get paid. In fact, because the bulk provider actually incentivize us to pick them in order to pick them for the service provider for the net, they actually pay a one-time fee. Typically, we sign a 10-year contract with these providers. So anywhere between $20,000 to $40,000 is what they'll cut us a check day one once we start implementing this. So make it simple. Let's run the number based on 100 units so you guys can follow the math really easily. With the $30 to $60 per month on a 100-unit apartment for 12 months, The annual revenue that is increased without increasing rents is anywhere between $36,000 to $72,000. And that's a range based on what you prefer, right? Because it's a broad range. We can charge anywhere between $85 to $115 or even a little bit more, depending on year. And that's where market study comes into play. So you have to kind of like play with that one. So 100 unit apartment, average revenue again is $36,000 to $72,000. The value add though, so when we talk about, okay, for simple math, let's times 20. So we said the value for every dollar of increase is $16 to $20. Let's use $20 as the simple math. So it increases anywhere from the value of just implementing bulk internet on the site. It increases your property's value by at least $720K to $1.44 million. $1.44 million from a revenue increase of just $72,000, right? That's not that much annual income, but you see how much the property's value jumped up already? And this is a 100 unit apartment. Imagine if you bought this apartment for, I don't know, for easy math, $10 million, and you're increasing the value. Let's say the value went up $1 million. That's like 10% increase in the value of the property by simply implementing this. And really, there isn't any upfront charges to you. All the marketing materials provided by the bulk provider. And the how this system works is that there's a rollout period. So we owe $55 per unit, regardless of how many people uses it, right? But the trick here is, number one, there's a ramp up period. It takes around 12 to 18 months. And so it depends on how you negotiate the terms until it fully penetrates the entire property. The thing is that what we do is we require this internet as mandatory for new leases and also for any renewals. So this is not something that they can opt out of. It becomes some charge. But the way you articulate this is that it becomes a cost saving to them, because most likely they're going to be using this anyway. So upfront charge for us to implement is $55 per unit, but really that comes over time. So there isn't a setup charge to this. The next one that we're going to look at is pet rent. So pet rent is something interesting as well, because this is something that some people may have taken for granted. So you'd be surprised how many pet lovers are there. And I think the number's only going to climb. And so here's the thing, pet friendly apartments are really a huge deciding factor for renters today. If your property isn't pet friendly, you're probably going to lose out on a whole bunch of potential renters that's going to come into your home. So why not lean into this? A lot of us are already animal lovers. And so when you lean into this, what it does is it boosts your occupancy, because now you're attracting a larger pool of people. You also create more stable income and you're adding high margin revenue without any effort. The rooms are the same. You didn't do anything different, right? So this isn't just about allowing pets, which is amazing for us as pet lovers, but it also allows us to monetize their presence on our building. And the best part, again, is really inexpensive and it has high return when you implement it. In our portfolio, we typically see around 40% of the units are occupied by tenants with pets. One or more pets. And it depends on what you guys want. You may say, hey, I want to have just one pet policy, or maybe you say two pets, or you may restrict size, breeds, whatever makes sense for you. So 40% is our kind of like penetration rate. We allow for more than that, but that's the number that we typically see tenants occupied. So this is something that you can't ignore. So let's break down the math, right? So with the pet rent average is around $25 to $50 per month per pet. So if we have a 40% penetration of like a 100 unit apartment, not 200 here, it's around 40 units, pet tenants that are there, right? So the initial cost here isn't much. It's actually just the $2,000, which is around think about it as like just buying those posts with like the little bins and like little poop bags and stuff like that. It's not expensive. Some properties that we have, we added a little bit extra. We did like agility courts and stuff like that, but it depends on your facility, what spaces you have. It doesn't take much, right? So monthly income from charging pets is around $35 pet rents. So $35, assuming you have 40 pets, that's $1,400. So the annual revenue there is around $16,800. But because of the value add, that's around $336,000 in added value to the property. Pay $2,000 front, you add over $300,000 in value. That's pretty tremendous. Again, like the bigger picture here is to understand that the value of the property is derived by the income it produces. And so like that is the big factor when we're evaluating these things. So now the other item that we can start implementing if you haven't done this fully is what is called utilities billback, or RUBS. right? So utility, RUBS, what it stands for is Ratio Utility Billing System. Basically, what it means is that if you have, for instance, a master meter, either it's water or electricity, where your tenants are not individually metered, so you can't measure their consumption usage, you can charge them a flat fee. There's a couple ways to do this. The first way is you can do this based on unit size. You may say, hey, a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom with this many occupant, you're going to pay a higher level. Or you may say, hey, across the board, we're just going to charge a standard fee. And we've done it both ways. So for an easy example, we're going to, in this case, we're assuming that we're doing a standard fee across the board. So setup cost isn't substantial, $5,000 or so. Each month, in this example, we're charging $65 per unit as a cost of like electricity and for the property. 100 units, that means the value increase is $6,500. The annual income is $78,000, but the value add is $1.56 million, right? So that's a substantial amount that's increasing there. The other thing is, if you are looking at a property that already has RUBS, or implemented RUBS on the property, the thing to look for is, are they maximizing it? Some properties may not maximize it. So you're legally, and depending on the area, you're legally allowed to charge up to a certain percentage of the utility bill, because the assumption is that you're going to have common areas that, so you cannot charge in full amount to the tenant. That what that amount is dependent on your local area. So it could be anywhere from 70, 72, 73, 74, 80, whatever it is. So that's one of the things to quick win. Is like, if you're already implementing RUBS, make sure that you can maximize that. Go to the end. Okay. So the last tactic within this first quadrant that we are going to explore is reserve parking. Reserve parking is something super, super easy to implement. You just need some signage, right? And maybe you need to paint you may not even need to paint the parking stalls as like reserve, depending on you. So maybe a signage is enough. The thing about this is that like when you have a larger complex where it's spread out across multiple acres, imagine how convenient it'd be for someone to just park right in front of their unit when they're hauling those grocery bags up, and they can just comfortably know that every time I come, I always have this parking spot for myself. And this is something that we've implemented in several of our properties. This is one of the programs that's interesting, where this is a really market-to-market thing. There's some markets that you really can't sell reserve parking, but there's others that are really, really keen on it. So you have to do your market data analysis to understand what the market is like. So again, to implement this, the cost for signage basically is $3,000. You can charge $50 for reserve parking. And assuming in the scenario, we have 30 spaces that are booked up, that's $1,500 per month in income. Annual income is $18,000. The added value just from that simple act is $360,000. So all those things, you can see like how impressive it is because of the multiple. The annual income wasn't substantial in any of these scenarios, but you're able to actually increase the rent substantially. So this is the graphic for the parking reserve program, right? So let's add all this up together. So we're totaling up the bulk internet, pet rent, RUBS, and reserve parking. Let's see what the cost look like, comparing the cost to the value increase that the property can generate just from this, implementing these things. So in this quadrant one, for the example that I provided, the cost was $10,000, right? And this doesn't even include the revenue that comes from the one-time fee. This is just from the recurring revenue from the property. So annual revenue combining all those is $148,800 or $184,800, depending on the internet cost, which we gave you as a range. So in that itself, the value add that came from that is anywhere between $2.97 to $3.69 million. That is a significant chunk of money. And again, if the example is a $10 million property that you purchased, now you increase the value of the property by 36.9%. That's a really big number. And that's where you see, okay, you were able to sell the property for a higher valuation, or you're able to have a really substantial cash out refinancing potential. So those are, that in itself should get you excited about actually doing this. But this is only quadrant number one, right? If you love this, let me know, because I think this is one of the most powerful things when, again, we look at inexpensive high returns. Like, that's where you focus your attention first. And the great thing about this is that you can implement most of these things at the same time because there isn't any operational delays or it doesn't disrupt your operations. While you start having the cable package implemented, you can start doing your RUBS program or the rent program or the reserve parking. Those things can concur. And again, a lot of these things, you have to think of your apartment building, not just as four walls for shelter, which was the traditional way of thinking, but you have to think of it as like a ecosystem of multiple type of businesses. A lot of your tenants, a lot of your residents are already using these services. This is a matter of now you're diverting that source to, instead of going to outside vendors, they're actually just paying you for it, which helps generate more income for the property. So if you're loving this and you want to learn more about this, join our waiting list for our Wealth Beyond Me community to get access to even more of the passive wealth building strategies that we're talking about here. Okay, so when we stack these type of revenue streams, it equals exponential growth. And that's why, again, we focus first on inexpensive, high returns, minimum cost, minimum effort, but massive impact. Again, and the best part of this strategy, it doesn't disrupt the operations. It actually enhances them. A lot of these features may make it easier for you to actually sell the property to the tenants. So let me be clear about one thing, though, before I continue, that this list that I gave you is by no means exhaustive. That's not the point here. The point here is to set up a framework of you so that you can think of differently about how you generate income from the property, where revenue isn't directly just from rents. There are other sources, other income potential that you can actually create. So we just began with quadrant one. So now let's talk about quadrant two. And this is expensive, high returns. What does that mean? So when you buy multifamily apartments, typically you get a loan from the bank, some sort of lender. And what you do is there's two types of scenarios. Number one is you can include capital expenses into the loan. So it's called finance rehab. The other way you can do it is unfinanced rehab. And there's different pros and cons to both. Obviously, if it's finance rehab, typically it's going to be at a lower interest rate than raising equity for it. There are some drawbacks to the type of, some lenders take forever. So how it works is that you pay for the constructions, for the whatever capital expenditures that you deployed on the property. And then you actually get that reimbursed by the lender. It's called a lender's draw. And that sometimes can be a really tedious process because the lender makes it really difficult to get that money out. The other drawback for doing a finance rehab is sometimes the lender may require you to. So the lender's job is to maximize their return, right? So what they like is if you borrowed $7 million and $1 million that is supposed to go to rehab, finance rehab, and you were operating the property and you were like, hey, I don't actually need these upgrades because my property is actually performing really well. Typically, the lenders, they don't care. They're going to say, hey, you needed to do this draw by a certain date. Why are you not doing it? And we've experienced that several times where we're like, the economy is doing really well. The rent growth is really strong. We don't really need to implement these things. And we don't care. You need to do it because they're like, I expected this income to come in from these draws and you need to implement it next. So that's the caveat of those are the two major pitfalls of doing it through finance rehab. The other one is sometimes there's not as much flexibility. So when you submit the loan application, you submit a CapEx outline breakdown of like, what are you going to use the money for? Sort of funding, what are you going to apply it to? And the problem with that sometimes is that as you're implementing these things, you may say, hey, you know, it didn't cost me as much to implement, for instance, the wash and dry, or I chose not to do it. Can I reallocate that to a different use, different expensive bucket? But sometimes they allow, sometimes they don't, depend on the lender. So those are some of the drawbacks that you can see from that. But let's go back to quadrant number two. So this is considered expensive, high returns, not as obviously the most desirable, the inexpensive, high returns, which was quadrant one, but expensive, high returns may actually still make sense. In this case, in-unit washer and dryer. So the assumption here isn't just to buy the unit. The assumption here is potentially you have to put in the hookup, right? So this is when you have to put in the hookup, obviously, going through the city, getting permits and stuff like that may cost more. Additionally, the power consumption in the unit, you need to make sure that you have enough amp for that breaker in order to make sure that you can, you know, operate such heavy-duty machines inside the units. So with that, if it makes sense, it'll cost, in a 100-unit scenario, it'll cost around $2,000 per room. So that would mean $200,000 initial cost, which is a substantial amount. Now you want to say like, hey, is this really worth it? It may not pay for itself if you're just focusing on the income. So you can charge about $50 per month to rent out these machines to each unit. 100 units, that's $5,000. So annually, it's $60,000 income. It's like, that's not really worth it. I just paid $200,000 and I'm getting $60,000. And it's like basically a 3+ year rollout in order to recoup their initial cost. But the important thing is that it actually increases the value of the property substantially. And so therefore, that helps a lot to lessen the blow there, right? So the next one on this is storage units. So this is an interesting one. A lot of people may not realize that storage units is something that is in high demand. I always think of apartments or homes as like this infinite box. Like the larger the size, you try to fill that thing. Like you never have a room that isn't filled to the brim with stuff, right? That's how it goes. So having storage units on site is something that's made me of a significant value. A lot of times, some apartments actually have these storage units on site already. You may have different ways of maybe using containers, or like for us, we have some detached garages that we converted on one of our properties to some storage units. We were testing that concept out. So if you had to put, like for us, when we have a detached garage, then that didn't cost much. It's more about securing the lock system to make sure people can't break in. But if you have to implement and put it in, it may cost you around $1,500, which is $5,000 per unit, and the cost should be around like $75,000, assuming that's the cost. The rental may be around income for that, maybe about $75 per unit times 50 units per se. That's around $3,750. So that's an annual income of $45,000. Again, doesn't sound much, but when you check out the value add that it created, $900,000. So this may or may not be something applicable depending on the size of your property, depending on your location, etc. Covered parking. Okay, so covered parking is also an interesting one. Covered parking works in some areas and other areas it doesn't. And again, you need to do market research. This is not about throwing a whole bunch of amenities and trying to charge your tenants whatever. You have to make sure that there's a strong demand for it. And you also have to compare this to your competition. Are they charging for these things? In Phoenix, Arizona, for example, covered parking isn't something people charge for. And therefore, it would make no sense for you to put it in your business plan that, hey, I'm going to start charging people for this. Covered parking is a little bit more expensive, obviously, than reserved parking. But in cities in Texas where there's hailstorms, this is something that may be valuable because dense into their like hail damage may be something significant where their insurance premium will go up by more than what we're about to charge them. So initial costs, for instance, if you were doing like 50 spaces, maybe $2,000 for each space. It may be higher, but let's say it's $2,000 for this example. That's $100,000. Monthly income from that, you probably can't charge more than $50. 50 units, $2,500. Annual income is around $30,000. So added value there is $600,000, right? Okay, so quadrant three. So quadrant three is expensive, lower returns, like swimming pool and fitness centers, which I didn't put anything here because I think those are very expensive things that cost at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. And there isn't a really marketable direct or indirect cost that you can charge. Yes, of course, if the facilities aren't there, you may not be able to get the right tenants. But at the same time, a lot of these properties already have these kind of things. So you have to decide pros and cons. Like a lot of times swimming pools may not be worth it or may not even be allowed in the area with like different environmental rules that has changed. So don't even do quadrant three, in my opinion. Okay. So quadrant four is like, this is where, why not improvements? Low cost, easy to implement, right? Low cost, easy to implement. So this could be something like an Amazon package locker. In the past, you may think like, hey, it's really to help the residents, but it's also to help our staff. When people don't drop packages in front of the units and they come in to drop it inside the leasing office, it becomes like a whole scenario where the leasing staff actually have to manage, sort them out, blah, 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 which becomes more of a taxing thing on our workload. So package locker, yes, it helps our tenants maybe reduce theft on site, but it also helps with our team as well. So initial cost for public these storage package lockers may be around $15,000. But then you can't charge very much, right? So it's like $5 per unit times 50 units, around $250. So annual income there is around $3,000. So the value add is around 60,000. And there's some instances where there's company that you can call with where they'll come and put it in where without any cost to you, and you just share the revenue there. Okay, another one is vending machines. So this works well in some apartment complex, and the vending machines have gotten really interesting. It doesn't have to be just junk food, right? It can literally be things like iPod, makeup, essential items, detergent, whatever it is that you can get creative with on that front. So vending machines, maybe it costs $8,000 for four of them. Then monthly income may be around $200 with four units. That's $800. Annual income, $9,600. Value add, $100+K. Hey, these things add up, right? When you're trying to find ways to add value without actually spending more money or without increasing rents, right? Okay, so bike storage. Bike storage works really well in certain markets, not all market. In our market in Arkansas, where we're in Northwest Arkansas, which prior to buying the property, we did not know this. It's like the global, one of the best mountain biking area in the entire world. So it's like a mecca for mountain bikers. So our apartment complex actually has racks for rent that have people so they can store their mountain bike without having to like try to take it up to their home, their rooms, right? So this cost is around $5,000, 25 spaces. $15 times 25 is $375. Not much in income, $4,500, but cool. Hey, man, almost $100,000 in value add. I think that's a pretty nice amount that anyone would be okay, would be cool with adding, right? So not a lot of work, not a lot of income, but like you're not working that hard on this. Guys, so at the end of this, so we went through all the four quadrants, right? Quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four. So these are some of the items that you can use in order to grow your income, grow your property's value without actually having to increase the rents substantially. Rents can be increased incrementally, naturally, depending on which market it is. And right now we're seeing rent increases now across the board. And that's based on some data that just fresh came out at the conclusion of 2024. But these are also other creative ways that you can add income while you know that your tenants are already paying for most of these things. Now you're just converting it to that they're paying you instead of paying outside vendors for it. If you're just sitting back and hoping to get solid returns without actually doing anything to drive up the value right now, that's not going to work. So these are some of the countless tactics that will increase the property's value without really squeezing the tenants with higher rents by itself. And if you're not using these things, you're just really leaving money on the table. All right, so these four quadrants of the ultimate revenue blueprint just really boosts this revenue, of course, but it also, more importantly, boosts the valuation of the property, which in our case is like the most important part because we can sell at a higher price or we can refinance. And in the case of refinancing, if you do this correctly, over time, refinancing isn't a one-time thing. You can actually refinance over and over again.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.